You are Locked On MLB, your daily podcast on Major League Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey everyone, Tommy Stokey here, Locked On MLB, your daily podcast covering Major League Baseball as a whole, the national scene. Opening day yesterday, what a lot happening between Matt Davidson's three home runs, Giancarlo Stanton's debut, just a lot going on, walk-offs. And today, off to a good start as well. What's today? Friday? We've got Max Scherzer dealing. Homer Bailey looks pretty good, too. That's a good sign for the Reds. And the Tigers and Pirates might be done by Sunday. So, a lot happening so far. I want to get to a few opening day thoughts. What kind of stood out from game one? It is only one game, but they do all count the same. So, some I think you can, you know, evaluate the same as you would if it was game number 50, but there are also some instances where it's just one game. You know, I think Clayton Kershaw will be okay despite losing because he gave up one home run to Joe Panik. So we'll look at a couple of those. We'll see where people might be overreacting. And then because I'm recording this a little later in the day, I'm going to take a look at what I think can be a trap game tonight. It'll be a 7 o'clock game or 6:40 here out west, 9:40 in the east, so when you're listening to this tonight, it'll hopefully be a little relevant, and if it happens, you can come back the next day and see, hey, maybe Tommy knew what he was talking about, and if it doesn't, you can come back and say, hey, look, Tommy still doesn't know what he's talking about. So we'll see if what I got right there. But yeah, this is Locked On MLB, again, daily podcast. We did 3 days a week this week. I was out at the stadium all day yesterday, Chase Field, long opening day. So we'll look to get back on track 5 days a week next week. I think I almost have this thing figured out technology-wise, so we'll start looking at guests. We are adding to the network. We've got the Angels. We've got the Cubs. We've got the Yankees, Twins, Pirates. We just added the Blue Jays. I'm trying not to forget anybody. We're going to add another one, hopefully this weekend or next weekend, but we got the Orioles, Justin McGuire doing a great job over there, so got a team that's building here, and I'm pretty excited about it, a good opening day, hopefully a good opening week, and excited for what April has for Locked On MLB. Across Locked On Podcast Network, we've got the NBA and the NFL as well, so if you are a fan, go check out iTunes, search for your favorite team, I'm sure that we've got them covered. All right, so I wrote on the site, lockedonmlb.com, where you can find all my writing. I just took a quick look last night at the end of all the games. Some things that stood out, you know, Cubs beat the Marlins 8-4. The only thing that stood out there was a couple things. Kyle Schwarber, not very good defensively, but did hit the home run. That's going to be called the Schwarber game from now on. And then John Lester didn't look very good either. But otherwise, not much to take away when you're playing the Marlins, who are not very good. Mets Cardinals, not much to take away there. Syndergaard looked good. Carlos Martinez didn't. 6 walks. Baltimore, not much. Houston. Baltimore, I would tell you to go look at Locked On Orioles for Justin McGuire's take there. Minnesota Twins, we've got Locked On Twins. Go check out what Brandon Warren has to say there. Jake Odorizzi was good for the Twins. Dylan Bundy was really good for the Orioles. I think that's a good sign for both, especially for Dylan Bundy. I'd like to see him healthy for a full season because that's a name that we've been hearing an awful lot of. The Yankees were obviously impressive with Stanton hitting 2 home runs. I guess I'm just going to kind of repeat what I have before because I'm already out there saying that even when I say the Yankees have some regression, I don't think that means that they're going to win 80 games. I think that they means they can still win 88 games or 90, and just that the Red Sox will be a little bit better. And that wasn't off to a good start because the Red Sox gave up 6 in the 8th without using Craig Kimbrel. That'll be a big story for a long time. I think Evan Drellick out there in Boston has the market cornered on criticizing the use or non-use of Craig Kimbrel in non-ninth inning save situations, and I think he's absolutely right. I shouldn't say absolutely right. I think he's right to a certain degree. I also think that there's value in having your closer understand, okay, I'm coming in the ninth inning during the regular season, postseason maybe that changes, but just the mindset that it takes to be a closer, to be that back-end guy. Some are wired differently, and you hear Theo Epstein has said it before where he looks at the way that they use their closer as more of a traditional sense for a couple different reasons, one of, you know, being that workload. So when the Cubs use Brandon Morrow, they don't anticipate using him much in the eighth inning or bringing him in the seventh in the biggest spot in the game. They're a team that uses it more traditional. It sounds like Kimbrel just doesn't want to come in the eighth, and maybe that's because he wants saves for a contract. Maybe that's I don't know. Maybe it's just a comfort thing, and ultimately you want to do what makes your player most comfortable. So I know we started talking Yankees there and went on a tangent to the Red Sox, but the Red Sox are kind of a bigger story. I would look at the Blue Jays today with Aaron Sanchez. I think that's a pretty big game for them, as you know, for game number two. But he can, you know, we'll see what the Yankees do. 2 years ago, as I note in the story and as I have noted before, Stanton hit 240, 326 on base, missed 43 games. That contract was unmovable at the time. You know, obviously he had a big year last year, off to a good start this year. But there's a chance that it doesn't necessarily work out all that well. And all that well is relative. Again, we're not talking about 80 wins or even 85 wins. We're talking about just coming up short to the Red Sox, potentially. At least that's my prediction. The Athletics walked off against the Angels. It's funny that Mike Trout dominates all spring and goes 0 for 6 with a strikeout after not striking out in the spring. That's baseball. Shohei Ohtani got a hit. More interested to see what he does on Sunday on the mound. Braves big walk-off win over the Phillies. Okay, so let's talk about Gabe Kapler here for a minute. I thought it was really questionable when it happened, taking Aaron Nola out with a runner on second. Sixth inning, Freddie Freeman up. He's at 68 pitches. I think 40 or 48 or a lot of them were strikes. And so he was on. And, you know, Kapler pulls him to bring in a lefty to face Freddie Freeman, who's a lefty, and then Nick Markakis on deck was also left-handed in a 5-0 game. So at the time, it's like, man, what are you doing? You're just overthinking the situation. I think after I heard him explain it or read him explain it, read his explanation, maybe that makes more sense. After I read his explanation, I was like, okay, like I guess that makes sense. It's not as terrible as I originally thought. You bring in the lefty because Freddie Freeman doesn't hit lefties as well. Aaron Nola had just missed a spot to enter Inciarte to give up a double early in the season. You know, the math, I get all that. I wouldn't have done it. I think Gabe Kapler has to be careful because he has a reputation that he's going to be this big math guy that works hand in hand with the front office. I think this was maybe math to the extreme. But we'll see how he handles the bullpen moving forward, because Tommy Hunter and Pat Neshek both went on the DL. And so two of your bigger, better bullpen arms, if not the two best, are out. So that's going to make things interesting. I also can't wait for him to try to do that to Jake Arrieta, because I think Jake Arrieta might actually fight him on the mound. So that's good, too. Good for us watching. Let's see. What next? From the Braves perspective, you know, Markakis, everybody was mad that he was batting fourth. I don't know what they expected. And he repaid him with the walk-off home run. So good for them. They've got a rematch coming up here today. The Brewers and the Padres. The Brewers, I don't think, answered any questions because Chase Anderson is really good. And we already knew that, or some people knew that. I think he's not necessarily a household name, but he's going to be. If he continues to pitch this way. I believe he got an extension this offseason, and when he was in Arizona pitching against the Diamondbacks last year, I had talked to Paul Goldschmidt, some of the guys on the Diamondbacks, and asked him about the Brewers overall. You know, do you believe these guys are a threat? And Paul Goldschmidt said absolutely, and he came out and was the one that said their pitching staff is, you know, very good, and people maybe don't see that, but you look at Chase Anderson, he is tough. Jimmy Nelson, that guy is tough. Now, Jimmy Nelson's hurt, not going to be back for a while. Chase Anderson is good, But what do they have after that? I think that's when we're going to see the test for the Brewers in that rotation and whether or not, you know, they were right or wrong for not adding more there in the offseason. The White Sox, Matt Davidson, 3 home runs. On a personal, not really personal, professional note, I interviewed Matt Davidson 2 years ago out in Arizona. He had just switched gyms and programs for his offseason. He was really going to work on the mental side of the game because he was just really beating himself up over his stats and his numbers. He couldn't get a 300 on base percentage. He was stuck in the minors. He had, you know, brief debut with the Diamondbacks, gets traded, I believe it was in the Addison Reed deal, to the White Sox, and things just never really clicked there. He was stuck behind Todd Frazier. You've got all these other young guys coming, and he was just kind of maybe an afterthought. And then when he did get called up, he broke his foot in his first game, so then he missed, I believe that was 2016. And then last year, 26 home runs, which is good. Everybody knew he had power, but still I think he hit 220, 260 on base, and a negative WAR. So this is going to be an important year for Matt Davidson to hit those 3 home runs on opening day. He even said it afterwards that I think he said something along the lines of, I was more impressed that I was able to take that walk because that's what I need to do. Like, we know Matt Davidson is going to hit a pitch over the middle for a home run if it's there. Is Matt Davidson going to take a pitch when it's not a strike and work those walks and work counts to get those pitches over the middle? So good for him to have that moment. He's worked extremely hard, as have a lot of players. I don't want to single him out necessarily. He's the only one working hard, but worked extremely hard on the mental side. He's gone through some ups and downs as that prospect guy, and who knows, maybe he can play his way onto a future White Sox team at third base or designated hitter or something. Otherwise, as he would have told you a couple years ago, if it's not the White Sox, it's going to be somebody, because somebody's always watching. The Royals aren't very good. There's my breaking news there. The Giants, 1-0, don't have much to say there. Felix Hernandez was good. And then last night with the Arizona Diamondbacks, 8-2. Over the Rockies, winning an opening day again. Before I get to our final segment here, looking at why I think tonight can be a trap game for Arizona, I want to remind you, those at home running a business that is looking at advertising, we have extremely reasonable rates. So if you want to reach baseball fans, whether on the national side, whether on the local side, for one of our local markets or one of the local markets that are coming, you can contact me for advertising at Stokke, S-T-O-K-K-E, at LockedOnMLB.com. Again, reasonable rates. You know, get us while we're young and growing, and let's see if we can get your product out there in front of some baseball fans. All right. The Diamondbacks play tonight against the Colorado Rockies, Game 2, and it feels like a trap game to me, because for a couple different reasons. One, last night they went 8-2, and it, you know, winning by 6 runs, they were in the lead the whole game, minus a DJ LeMahieu home run in the top of the first off Patrick Corbin, but the D-backs come back and score 3 in the bottom of the inning. But if you look at that inning, it was David Peralta leading off, got on base, A.J. Peralta second, got on base, Paul Goldschmidt third, gets on base, Jake Lamb double off the wall, probably close to a grand, or was close to a grand slam in center field. There's 2 runs, and then Ketel Marte, weak ground out or strikeout. Alex Avila, ground out, RBI, drove in a run, I believe. And then Nick Ahmed gets out. And then after him, you have Jerod Dyson. So that lineup, especially without Steven Souza, is questionable at the bottom. Now, they came through late in the game. Jerod Dyson had a triple. Nick Ahmed, I think, doubled or had a big hit at some point. Those guys did produce later. But you looked later in the game, Jake Lamb against a lefty with the bases loaded, strikes out, still struggling against left-handers, hit 144 against them last year. You look at just the way that the game happened, and watching Torrey Lovello last night in the press conference after the game, something just seemed a little different, and he kind of admitted it as much. He said, you know, that it was a long day. It was he called it a magical day. He received his award for Manager of the Year. You have a long day. You have a long build-up to opening day. You know, getting ready, anxious, all that. And then to have a win like that where it was pretty much in control the whole time, he was just – he admitted he was exhausted. He was exhausted. Some of the players were exhausted. And so I think that the Diamondbacks are at risk of coming out flat in a sense – today, especially against a left-hander and Tyler Anderson for the Rockies. The Diamondbacks already struggle against left-handers, especially without Souza. You look at, you know, you don't have the – it's not like last year where they were losing and to Madison Bumgarner the whole game last year. Bumgarner hit two home runs. They just looked down and out, and then all of a sudden here come the Diamondbacks with a walk-off win in the ninth off Mark Melancon. And that is an adrenaline rush, an emotional win that can – I'm going to get in trouble for saying this, maybe – but that can spring momentum going forward. And so it just didn't feel the same. And it didn't – you know, whether it was Lovello at the end saying, you know, man, it's just kind of exhausted, long day, long buildup, is there a sense of some sort of – do they relax a little bit? Do the Rockies come out a little more – motivated because they're coming off a loss and they have to try to at least salvage the series and get one? At the same time, you have Robbie Ray, who's very good for the Diamondbacks. You have a team that, you know, plays hard every game, and so I don't want this to come out that the Diamondbacks are gonna, you know, roll over for the Rockies, because that's certainly never gonna happen. But it's a human element spot, I would call it, where a lot of factors could lead to the Rockies coming out on top. And so one being facing the lefty for the Diamondbacks, their lineup today: Peralta, Marte, Goldschmidt, Pollock, Chris Owings, Jake Lamb, Nick Ahmed, and then John Ryan Murphy catching. So Peralta against a lefty, not as good as against righties, obviously. You've got Jake Lamb in there against a lefty. Nick Ahmed can hit lefties better, but not a great offensive lineup, and especially the way that they hit lefties last year. So a lot to prove there. A weird spot for them coming off of last night's game. So I would look at a potential letdown spot for the Arizona Diamondbacks, and you know, wouldn't be surprised if they came out a little flat. Same time, wouldn't be surprised if they won, but definitely looking at it as a bit of a letdown spot. So across the league, real quick, what else is going to happen late tonight? We've got the Astros, Keuchel versus Doug Fister of the Rangers. I don't know if there's a ton of intrigue there. Angels, Athletics, not a ton of intrigue there. And, you know, Brewers, Padres, I'm not all that excited about that one either. So Giants, Dodgers could be good. 7 o'clock out west, 10 o'clock for you on the East Coast, Johnny Cueto, Alex Wood. Alex Wood, will he keep it up? Will he be that number two guy behind Clayton Kershaw? Will Johnny Cueto start the season off? A, he's healthy, but will he start it off right? He's kind of the key, especially now with Madison Bumgarner out. So Giants Dodgers, a good one. I'm trying not to be too West Coast biased here. But the Rockies Diamondbacks will be a good one, and I'm watching to see how the Diamondbacks respond to that game. So that'll be it for this episode of Locked On MLB. Check us out at LockedOnMLB.com. You can follow me on Twitter, Stokey Tommy, STOKKE. What else? You can find us on iTunes. You can find us on Google Play, working on getting on Stitcher, and all that. And so make sure you check out our network. Make sure you check us out, LockedOnMLB.com.